McCullough. There goes the base runner. His breaking ball in there for strike three. Throw to second, close. Did he get him? No, safe. That was close as well. But Quintero gets second. Conley called out on strikes. And the Braves will move the go-ahead run, the first run of the game, into scoring position with two outs. We'll have, by the way, we'll have about 30 minutes in between games. We'll go back to our studio, and just before the, I guess if I can get it before the national anthem, we'll get it back about 25 minutes after this this first game. Cade Bunnell batting, 1-for-2, swing and a foul. Ball and a strike. Top of the seventh, the Braves have a runner in scoring position, but two outs. Connor McCullough kicks pitches. Fastball low. Bunnell, who had that monster series against the Barons 2 years ago, as a hitter's count. Three home runs, 10 RBIs, and a six-game series here at Regions Field. Here's a 2-1. He takes strike two called right across Broadway. 2-2. Left-handed batter, right-handed pitcher. Outfield straight away, medium. Shortstop Baldwin. He's on the bag at second. The pitch, a breaking ball, swung on and missed. Strike three, see ya. McCullough survives. We go to the bottom of the seventh, and here's the story. If the Barons score, they will walk off and win it. We'll be back in just a moment.
There ain't nothing like Talladega and dirt late model racing. April 19th and 20th, the World of Outlaws Case Construction Equipment Late Model Series is back at Talladega Short Track for the second annual Alabama Gang 100. The World of Outlaws superstars are geared up to take on regional heroes April 19th and 20th at the Hornet's Nest. Visit TalladegaShortTrack.com for details. Be there.
As a small business owner, you know that running a business is no easy task. You're in the office and on your third cup of coffee before most even roll out of bed. That's why you need office equipment and solutions that help keep your business running smoothly. The experts at RJ Young provide office technology that ensures your business's network stays efficient and secure, so you can focus on what truly matters, growing your business. To discover how RJ Young can help your small business grow, visit rjyoung.com/smallbusiness.
When a shipped order arrives, it's always a joy to answer your door. Oat milk for your morning coffee, just the way you like it. Drinks to restock the bar, bubbles, of course. Flowers for your best friend's birthday, yellow daisies, their favorite. With Shipt same-day delivery, a personal shopper is ready to deliver the things that make you, you, and will make your day. To open the door to same-day delivery with Shipt and experience delight with every order, visit Shipt.com. That's Shipt.com.
Regions Field, we go to the bottom of the seventh inning. First game of a doubleheader. We are scoreless. Now you talk about a Barons team who certainly can hit long ball, especially the guy coming up, Tim Elko. Two so far this year. And Elko, maybe his last chance to extend his hitting streak. First pitch, swing, foul ball, left side. Well, the Braves are going to give the ball right back to their number one pick from last year. Hurston Waldrop, he has allowed five singles and 0-1 cut and missed. The Barons have had two runners thrown out at home. If we go further, it's Ellis on deck. Here's an 0-2.
low. .28 home runs for Elko last year and over 100 RBIs. A 1-2, he swings and lines it into center field. It gets down for a base hit. Hitting streak now at a dozen for your favorite cousin. Gotta love that two-strike approach from Ellis, Elko rather. And speaking of Ellis, here is Duke Ellis. Take a look at Ogans, the third baseman. He is even with the bag. He's not on the grass just yet. The pitch, and Ellis takes low, ball one. So the winning run is on at first. Nobody out on bottom of the seventh inning. Alvarez, the shortstop, shaded towards the bag. 1-0, Ellis swings, ground ball to the right of the second baseman, Conley in the right center, base hit. Elko's going to try for third. Here's the throw, here's the tag, he is safe! And the Barons are one base away from a win. Duke Ellis singles Big Tim over to third. Single advanced on the throw. And Jacob Burke with a chance to be a winner. And I see a glove exchange here. And let's see if the Braves, they bring an outfielder in to play the infield. Something along those lines. They might pack the, I'm seeing right now just two outfielders. I think they're going to go with two outfielders. And jam up the infield for Jacob Burke as the Barons are 90 feet away from a win. Elko with a beautiful two-strike approach. He singles to right center, and then Duke Ellis, who had pinch run earlier, hits one sharply past Conley, the second baseman. Here the infielders, three on the left side against Burke, two on the right side. You've got an outfield of Quintero in left and Dean in right, and that's it. Center is open. Waldrop sets, delivers to Jacob Burke. First pitch, breaking ball, strike. Front end of a doubleheader, and what a thriller this is. No score. The Barons are threatening here in the last of the seventh. Waldrop, with five infielders, comes home, and he almost whizzed it to the backstop. What a backhanded play by Drake Baldwin, rather. Oh, my. A gold glove play to save the game, at least for the moment. Three infielders on the left side, two on the right side, two outfielders. Barron's trying to win it. Burke batting, swing, ground ball through the left side. Base hit. Ball game is over as Elko scores, and Burke helps the Barons walk it off. Dugout will empty. John Sabear in audience, let's take one 90-second timeout. Catch our breath, give you the details. We'll take a look and get you set up in just a moment. One 90-second break, and then back here.
Serra Hyundai isn't just a dealership. It's an active part of the community. That's why we're bringing back Dingers for Dollars. As a sponsor of the Birmingham Barons, for every home run hit during the season, we are donating $200 to the Boys and Girls Club of Central Alabama. This was something near and dear to the heart of our founder, Steve Serra. The Steve Serra Group has helped raise almost $250,000, and this year we want to get the fans involved. Just visit bgcca.org to donate today. Serra Hyundai, serving the community for over 35 years.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown. Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. connect with events that shape and change the game and our country, and relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Back here at Regions Field, the Barons walk it off with a 1-0 victory. Now, game two, this is coming from the boss man. Game two is going to start at 6:48. I'll get the broadcast from John Sabare around 6:45. At 6:48, first pitch of game number two. Game one ends like this, 1 hour, 37 minutes. The Barons 1 run, 8 hits, no errors, 4 runners left on base. And for the Braves, no runs on 5 hits, no errors, 5 left on base. Connor McCullough, the winner out of the bullpen, he's 2-1. Hurston Waldrop suffers a loss. He is 0-3. Neither team hit a home run. The Barons improved to 8-5, and the Braves are now 4-9. All right, the second game will look like this. Jake Eater at 0-1 and J.J. Negro at 1-0. Those are your pitching matchups for game number two. Game number two will start 6:48. We'll pick up our brief pregame show approximately 6:45. So this is CB signing off for just a little while. You're listening to Barons Baseball right here on WJQX FM 100.5.
WJQX Helena, a Cumulus station. Your home for Birmingham Barons Baseball. 100.5. Jocks 2.
Their lead is down to 4. It's 40-36. The Knicks are shooting just 32% here in the first half. So to me, Ryan, down by just 4, shooting 32%, I kind of feel like I've overcome some adversity early on if I'm the Knicks, you know?
Yeah, you have to, but if you're the Knicks, the pressure is on. This is a must-win game here for the New York Knicks. So hats off to them, but they got to win this. So Philly, the problem is they're playing with house money. They're comfortable. They're confident. And you're right. They are in a must-win situation. So hats off for them to get back into this game. But if they have to exert too much and you have to show your hand, that's something you don't want to be doing it, man. And again, like I said, Nick Nurse is a defensive mastermind. Remember I said it.
Oh, I thought there was more to it. It was a very open-ended statement there. I thought you were adding some of what he said there.
No, he's a defensive mastermind, man. You heard enough. I'm not listen. If like I said, Philadelphia is comfortable right now, man.
No, I think you're right though about New York needing this game because it's such an unfair number 7 seed in Philadelphia that you don't want to give up the home court advantage right away. Okay, this is primetime on ESPN Radio coming up. Are the Nuggets and Celtics on a collision course? Plus, more your bold prediction. Phone calls 888-729-3776. This is primetime on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. From the play-in tournament.
Here's Embiid, trains a triple.
Until a champion is crowned at the NBA Finals.
The Denver Nuggets NBA champion.
History awaits. The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
If you have ever thought about remodeling your bathroom but were worried it would take too long or cost too much, then stop worrying. Right now, Jacuzzi Bath Remodel has designed a collection of high-quality custom products and perfected the one-day remodeling experience so you can enjoy your new bathroom faster than ever before. It's a worry-free bath remodel from the most trusted brand name in the business, Jacuzzi. A Jacuzzi Bath system fits in your existing tub space. It's a no-mess installation with an amazing style selection, factory-certified installers, and a limited lifetime warranty. Call 800-717-4599. That's 800-717-4599 right now and get 50% off installation with no interest and no payments for 12 months. Replace that old bathtub today with a walk-in shower for a safer bathing experience. If you have lived in your home for over 15 years, it's time to remodel your bathroom. For a virtual or in-home appointment, call 800-717-4599. 800-717-4599. That's 800-717-4599. 800-717-4599.
Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
Terry and Arnold, good luck. The former Alabama cornerback, slated to be a first rounder.
I'd be reading every mock draft, every single one. You'd be waking up middle of the night, oh my God, where's Matt Miller have me? It's Wednesday morning, Mel's got his new mock, or is it Field this week? And you see you slid two spots, I'd be inconsolable. But that's also why I would never be in the NFL.
Carlin versus Joe, weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup playoffs begin Sunday on ESPN, ABC, and ESPN+.
Which teams are making moves and which teams need to just flat out move? Your Saturday means I'm locked in and ready for First Take right here, Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Welcome to the best seat in your house.
Go get on TV, baby!
Say cheese.
The one with MLB superstars, super teams, and super fans. You wanna be just so please. Where fresh talent shows out, bats and scripts get flipped, and mics get dropped on the regular.
Yeah, that was fun. Y'all might need to come around more.
Welcome to the show. Sunday Night Baseball. Sunday at 7 Eastern, all season long on ESPN.
Hey, it's Evan Cohen. Coming up Monday, we'll react to the NBA playoffs and get you ready for the NFL Draft. It's on Sportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
Tomorrow night as the Braves host the Rangers. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, but it's 7 on ESPN. This is primetime on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jonathan Zaslow alongside 10-year NBA veteran and current Houston Rockets analyst Ryan Hollins. We're taking your phone calls here at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're taking your calls on your NBA playoff bold predictions. If you're on hold, we'll get to you in a moment here. If you want to get in your bold predictions for these NBA playoffs, Ryan gave us a couple. He gave us one. I first wouldn't let him give the Wolves winning the NBA championship. Then he shoehorned it in. And he also has the Lakers knocking off the Nuggets, which is crazy when you think about it. How I don't think I've heard anyone else say that. And the idea that no one has gone out on a limb to say that LeBron James, his team, can actually, I guess, have an upset over the Nuggets. It's kind of crazy that I haven't heard anyone else other than you, Ryan, make that prediction. My bold prediction, not only are the Indiana Pacers going to knock off the Milwaukee Bucks this first round, but they're going to sweep them. So your bold prediction is at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's hear from Chris. Chris is calling us from New Orleans. Go ahead, Chris. You're on primetime on ESPN Radio.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey.
Great.
So, we finally got the matchup we wanted, you know, winning the play-in. And my bold prediction is that with or without Zion, the Pelicans go in, knock off OKC, and then I'll take it one step further. We'll see, I guess, the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals.
Thanks for the call, Chris. So, he has his Pelicans, obviously, after winning last night against the Kings. He has them beating Oklahoma City. I would say, look, it's not the worst matchup for New Orleans. You saw last night, Brandon Ingram looked pretty good. It's not the worst matchup for New Orleans at a very young, somewhat inexperienced Oklahoma City Thunder team. What do you make of that, Ryan? You give New Orleans much of a chance this series?
I give them a huge chance for what you just mentioned, the youth. But here's what you have to understand, and I don't know why everybody was so shocked. For one, Brandon Ingram is absolutely box office. But even bigger than that, the Pelicans, you forget, they're used to playing without Zion.
That's true.
It's not a big, oh, no, what do we do? What offense do we run? And we need this guy to step up. And they have played the majority of the time with Zion under contract with him not being available. So this is an organization, like I said, that's used to that. Oklahoma City, here's the thing about them. Sometimes they can struggle to shoot from the outside. Their calling card is their defense, and they miss a lot of height and size inside. So, you know, you can have some success at the rim. Now, what they do great is they rotate in numbers. They move on the flight of the ball. They play to their team speed, and they're very intelligent. And again, defensively, offensively, they play together, and they have a young superstar in the league by the name of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He is absolutely all as advertised. So I do like OKC, but I think that they are very beatable. They're young, and it's not just a given that they're going to have success.
Ryan, do you get a vote for NBA Awards?
I do not, man. I should, man. I might be a little biased.
I should too. Both of us. Both of us should have votes for the awards. I feel the same way.
We're both biased, man. I'll be going. You know, I'll be having Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün. I'll be having all my guys on those NBA first teams. I'll tell you that much.
You got Udoka as Coach of the Year over there.
That's an easy call. That's an easy call. The biggest turnaround from year to year. Come on, man.
So the Knicks are cooking with gas now. They lead the Sixers 45-41 4.5 minutes ago in the second. The Sixers have called timeout. Are the Nuggets and Celtics, both, well, number one seed Boston and world champion Denver Nuggets, are they on a collision course? Well, let's hear from ESPN NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins, and he thinks the Celtics, they showed a little bit of vulnerability late in the season.
But can we pump the brakes real quick? Because they actually got to complete the mission. The Celtics haven't done a damn thing. Their season actually doesn't start till April the 20th. It can't come off as, oh, we already clinched. We're just waiting on the postseason. No, every single night that you step foot on the floor, you have to be consistent. And people thought I was overreacting when I saw the Celtics lose two games back-to-back to the Atlanta Hawks. No, the whispers were out. If you get physical with this team, you have a chance. If you make it close going into the fourth quarter or late in the stretch, you definitely have a chance. And they need to change this narrative and make sure these last two games, even if they're starters and they five doesn't play, the others need to come out and compete at a high level.
So that was Kendrick Perkins from a few days ago, and we now know that they are opening their postseason, not April 20, tomorrow, April 21. They'll be the first of the quadruple header tomorrow, Heat and Celtics. Your coverage begins right here on ESPN Radio at 12:30 p.m. East. The game starts at 1 p.m. Ryan, I'm very nervous going into this series. I'm obviously here in Miami. I'm a huge Heat fan. I was on their broadcast for 13 years. I despise the Boston Celtics. I am very nervous going into it tomorrow because I feel like we're bringing a knife to a gunfight. I mean, losing Jimmy Butler and no Terry Rozier. You know what? I would almost feel better. Losing Butler stinks, all right? But I would feel significantly better if we had Rozier, and there's no real timetable on when he's going to return from this neck injury. I'm very, very nervous here, Ryan. Give me a reason not to be nervous. Go ahead.
I mean, of course, you know, Jimmy Butler's he's the guy, that emotional leader. And, you know, when you guys got past Milwaukee, it was Jimmy just going on a Jimmy run. Like, he just went out of his mind.
Oh,
just,
so good.
Jimmy just blacked out when he was saying, this is my, you know what, this is my stuff.
It's true. Okay? And then, like, a few minutes later, he probably sits on the bench and says, what happened? What just happened?
Yeah,
you're right.
So,
you're right.
Yeah, but you know the thing about Spo? Win, lose, or draw, they're going to fight. They're going to scrap,
true.
Man. They're those guys are going to go out and compete. And, you know, don't tell Spo that, but don't tell those guys that. They don't think so, but it is tough not having that guy when you're struggling to go out and get a big bucket.
Stinks. Let's go out to North Carolina. We're taking some of your bold NBA playoff predictions. Here's Tim. Tim is up next on Primetime on ESPN Radio. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Hey.
Hey, my bold prediction is that the Cavaliers are going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I do think they're going to meet the Celtics up there, and they have a really good chance of beating them also. So, Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, thanks for the call, Tim. If they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, that's fine, but it would not be against Boston. Cleveland is on the side of the bracket with the Boston Celtics, so Cleveland would have to go through the Celtics to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. That was why you had, the Cavaliers or the Bucks, I should say, the Bucks in that number three spot and New York in that number two spot. That's kind of the money area there, Ryan, because you get to avoid the number one seed until the conference finals, you know?
Yeah, and that's the goal. So, you know, the Lakers didn't want to duck smoke, but they better start ducking smoke because that is a factor. There are teams that you don't want to see, but I understand putting confidence into your team and saying we want to see certain people. And it's like, nah, man, save the best for last.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a big fan of this Cavaliers team. You know, I know they could defend. And although I'm super encouraged about what you saw out of Donovan Mitchell today with the 30 points. I mean, he looked like Donovan Mitchell pre-All-Star break. Ever since after the All-Star break, when he came back from the knee injury, he didn't look like the same guy. So I'm super encouraged if I'm a Cavs fan. But overall, I don't love this Cavs team this year. I do think they beat the Magic in a long series. All right. So right now, New York leads Philadelphia 49-46. 2.5 minutes to go in the first half. That looks like a really fun game. Should be a great second half there as well. And, of course, tonight coming up, you got the Lakers and Nuggets. So, speaking of which,
Embiid,
we'll get you an update. That's about to tip off in 30 minutes. We'll get you a preview from Denver next on ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Michelle Smallman. It's officially draft week, and I'll tell you all the small things I'll be looking for in round one at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. It's Unsportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Evan, Canty, and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Is there an 11-win team then in the NFC East?
I know this is going to sound crazy.
I know you think Washington. But
Washington?
I think Washington.
Wow.
Anywhere Dan Quinn is gone, the defense has been dramatically better. So when you look at all of the additions that they made on the defensive side of the ball, with Dan Quinn, things can be different. Like, they are going to get a bump.
Unsportsmanlike. Weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
He's on mushrooms. Him and I, man. Yeah. You know, they come out now with these mushrooms. They really freak you out.
Paul Feinbaum. Weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and the SEC Network.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio.
Tatum finds a three. Knocks down another one.
Storming into the postseason with the NBA's best record. The Boston Celtics begin their postseason journey against Bam Adebayo and the Miami Heat.
We've been so close these last 2 years. We're going to do whatever it takes.
Game one of the Celtics and Heat. Coverage begins tomorrow at 12:30 Eastern. With tip-off at 1 Eastern. On ESPN Radio and on ABC. Presented by Indeed.
Which teams are making moves and which teams need to just flat out move? Your Saturday means I'm locked in and ready for First Take right here, Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
This is Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Derek in Virginia.
If whoever wins the South, the loser has to pay for dinner and wear the other's jersey.
Derek, hold on. Who's your NFC South team? That's what we got to find out.
Bro, it's the Bucs. Bucks. You know it's me.
Well, y'all know I stay 10 toes down.
All right.
I know how to rock out with my you-know-the-word out. So bet accepted.
Check out more from Freddie and Harry weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Morning, Houseberger. Minnesota pounded Phoenix 120-95 today, taking game one in convincing fashion. It's the Timberwolves' second largest playoff win in franchise history. Anthony Edwards leading the rout with 33 points after struggling against the Suns in the regular season. The Cleveland Cavaliers opened the playoffs this afternoon, controlling the game with the fifth seed Magic from start to finish and winning 97-83. Donovan Mitchell, 30 points for Cleveland. The Magic shot just 32% from the field. Orlando center Franz Wagner says they'll rebound.
That's frustrating, but that's not how we looked at it. We were like, we're not playing our best basketball. We're still in the basketball game. So, you know, obviously, we need to hit shots to win this series, but I'm confident we'll make it next game.
Game two is Monday night. Philly took control from the start, but the Knicks went on an 11-1 run late in the second period. New York leads the Sixers 53-46 with about a minute and a half to go in the first half. Next up on ESPN Radio, the defending champion Nuggets face the L.A. Lakers. The Stanley Cup playoffs started today, too, with the ESPN bet favorite to win it all, Carolina, leading the Islanders 2-1, about 6 minutes to go in that one. Afternoon baseball on ESPN Radio saw Tampa Bay take care of the Yankees in 10.
It'll be an 0-2 to Rourke. That pitch lifted into shallow left field. Trammell coming on. He's got to play it on a hop. Base hit, RBI, Ben Rourkevet. And the Rays have a 2-0 lead here in the 10th inning.
New York got nothing in the bottom of the extra inning. 2-0 the final. Aaron Judge struck out swinging four times for the Pinstripes and heard boos.
Monday morning, we enter my favorite week of the year, the NFL draft, getting closer by the day. Plus, we're all over the NBA playoffs. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Their largest lead of the first half, 56-46 over Philadelphia, 46 seconds ago in the second quarter. That's not necessarily the big news, though. This is primetime on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. He's 10-year NBA veteran, Rockets analyst Ryan Hollins. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. So, Ryan, why don't I let you explain what happened here, because you were apoplectic during the break about what Joel Embiid did. Go ahead.
If you heard us going into the break and you heard that scream, that was me.
It was. It really was a scream. You screamed.
I can't believe what I just watched. This has to be a first. Joel Embiid is been injured down the stretch of the season. It's the only reason he's not the MVP of the NBA. And he has a play where he drives on Robinson. He gets him up in the air. He throws the ball off the backboard, yep. Jumps over a New York Knick, dunks the ball one-handed. It's one of the greatest plays I've seen in a very long time. And he comes down, and the dude hurt himself.
Yep.
He hurt himself. And I'm only not Left laughing because he got hurt. But it's like, of all things, Joel, why would you try that? And from a coach's standpoint, you don't want to take his creativity away. You don't want to stop Joel from being Joel. But you go, how and why at that moment? And we just got done talking about injuries swaying a lot of these series. We talk about Zion. We talk about Embiid. And we talk about a big fella, Giannis. So
yes, yeah.
Going out with Embiid, this is going to be huge. And now the Knicks have the lead. They're very comfortable.
Yeah, this is now the story as New York is going to go into the half here with a 58-46 lead. But Joel Embiid, he has left to the locker room, apparent left knee injury. Hard to tell how bad it is because he didn't land on anyone. it didn't even look like he fell awkwardly. You know, he dunked the ball with the one hand, and he comes down on the ground, seemingly landed fine. Yeah, they're showing the replay again, so he slams it down with one hand. He comes down on his left foot. It looked normal enough, but clearly when he planted on that foot on the ground, something happened with the knee. I mean, Ryan, like, it wasn't a hyperextension or anything. He didn't twist his knee. Like, what do you think happened there even?
I'm more worried because he came down without any type of contact.
Right, right. That's the worst kind.
That's what worries me. Now, obviously, if he came down on a foot, I'd be worried about that too. But that definitely worries me. And I hope that Joel is okay. Basketball is the best when all of his stars are out there and playing. So, hey, shoot, throw Kawhi Leonard to that mix. But I am extremely concerned because there was no contact on the play. When he was on the floor, he looked like he was just looking in the air. He came down. Hopefully, he just came down awkward.
He looked like he was in disbelief.
Yeah. But he wasn't, like, he wasn't yelling.
He wasn't in any kind of pain, it didn't seem.
Yes. So, hopefully, he's just like, I landed weird. I don't know what that sound was. Let me make sure it's all good. Let's hope that it was that.
Yeah. All right, well, he's gone back to the locker room early. They're now all in the locker room. It's halftime. Knicks lead the Sixers 58-46. We'll see if we can get you guys an update over the next few minutes. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, it's ESPN Radio's coverage of Lakers-Nuggets, game one of their opening round Western Conference Series. Sean Kelly is on the call for the game. He joins us right now. Sean, for a series that features one team that has not beaten the other team in what feels like 1,000 years, it feels like there's a ton of juice to this series tonight.
Yeah, how about this in the first round? And thanks for having me, and thanks for the cool Modi to get us in. Now, maybe the reflection on my age, but I'll take it. Never thought in my career I would have that as some intro music, but I'll take it. It's juice in the first round. Obviously, a rematch of last year's Western Conference Finals. You're right. Denver's had LA's number. But the Lakers feel like they're in much better shape than they were a year ago. They're certainly in much better shape than they had been earlier in the season. Basically, since the All-Star break, they're one of the four best teams in the league. So, extra juice in that lineup, but the champs are still the champs until somebody says otherwise. And it's hard to dispute what Denver's done here, winning more games in the season after winning a championship than they did a year ago. And not many teams have done that either.
What's the biggest storyline for the Lakers? There's a lot of pressure on Anthony Davis, people shouting out D'Angelo Russell and understand why he's the guy who can stretch the floor. But for the Lakers, what's the third biggest storyline? What are you looking at? Who can be an X factor that can come out and kind of push them over the top or at least help them be competitive?
Yeah, I know. I think you were so dominated by those first three or two things that you mentioned with regard to the Lakers in this series. But perhaps it's the second group. And maybe a guy like Gabe Vincent, who's been banged up all year, but is a vet and could be a factor in this series. Can Torian Prince shoot like he has here recently and bolster that second unit? Those guys, along with Spencer Dinwiddie, just may give the Lakers a little extra edge in the bench storyline of this series.
Sean Kelly, NBA on ESPN Radio. He's got the call tonight. Lakers, Nuggets getting started at 8 p.m. East right here on ESPN Radio. Sean, do you think the Lakers have to take one of these first two games?
I don't think that's necessarily the case. I do think, though, we're in for more of a series than we saw last year in the Western Conference Finals. If that is to be, then maybe they do have to take one of these first two. But even if it goes chalk here in these first two games, you go back to Los Angeles – and the Lakers still in a seven-game series find themselves still, you know, in the thing. The only thing that can't happen for the Lakers here is they can't go through these first two games and not just lose them, but lose them in a way that brings back some old memories, things that could haunt them, whether it be Jokic dominating Anthony Davis in that, you know, pseudo one-on-one matchup, or if D'Angelo Russell falls off again like he did in the series last year. If they lose and one of those two things happens, then I think that you have concern if you're a Lakers fan.
Hey, Sean, you've seen the Nuggets a lot this year. Does this team in this season give you the same type of feel of their championship last year? Or are there any differences? And if there are, what have you seen this year from opposed to last year?
You know, I think it's just maybe the depth thing, and maybe I'm being short-sighted on this. I just thought that Bruce Brown was such a big part of what they did last year. But Christian Brown's really stepped up this year, playing a bigger role than he did a year ago. Reggie Jackson's been Reggie Jackson. And then Peyton Watson, I think, is a little bit of a difference in that second group in that he's proven to be a better defender than I thought he would be here in his second season. Otherwise, the starting five just reminds me of a year ago. It's the same dominance we see with the two-man game that Murray and Jokic pull off. It's the same low post screen for one each other, assist for one each other in the Aaron Gordon Jokic dunk fest that can kind of turn into play. The one other thing about the starting five that might be a little different is Michael Porter's having a heck of a year. He's been super available, super durable, and if you look at Porter just since the All-Star break, he's shooting better than 50%. He's also hitting his threes. He's 91% at the free throw line. He's taken a big step in a year where he's been his most healthy.
We had Sean Kelly here with us, NBA on ESPN Radio. He has the call tonight right here, 8 p.m. East, Lakers and Nuggets. You know, to that point right there, Sean, about the Nuggets, I think you're getting an even better Nugget team this year because I feel like the roles are just so much more defined now, especially those guys, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr. You know, Porter Jr. was not very good in the finals last year. I don't think he was that great in the playoffs either. But now they almost know, all right, this is what I need to do to contribute to a championship again with this Nuggets team. I just feel like Denver, I feel like their players outside of Jokic and Murray, who they know they got to carry the heavy load, I feel like the rest of the guys, the roles are just so much more defined.
Yeah, and I think there's two big factors in there. One, the experience of going through what they did last year. Two, continuity. That group of five, that starting five, that leads the NBA in minutes together at 958 coming into tonight's game. You know, they've played the most together as a starting five. And then the experience of having been there before. In fact, tonight when I meet up with Michael Malone, I'm going to ask him, you know, what's the difference in the way you feel about going into this postseason as opposed to a year ago? I have a feeling it's the experience of last year. And the fact that, as you said, he has a very continuous starting five and role players that know exactly what they're asked to do. Last year, Malone shortened his rotation a little bit, and he may do the same here. But they've been able to go four or five guys off their bench. We may see three or four now as we move forward. But, look, this is a team that knows exactly who they are. And, obviously, 57-25 speaks to that, not to mention the 38 wins at home. 33, beg your pardon.
Is Nikola Jokic your MVP?
He's got to be. I think if you look at the breadth of work, here he is. He's going to win a third in 4 years, which that puts him in an elite class. And I don't see anything that I could argue against at this point.
Sean Kelly, NBA on ESPN Radio. He's got the call, 8 p.m. East, Lakers and Nuggets right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Sean, enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for joining us for a few minutes here on Primetime on ESPN Radio.
Appreciate it. Best time of the year, guys.
So there you go. Excellent job there by Sean. Coming up, we're going to get you guys. We'll see if we can get you guys an update. They're in halftime right now in New York where the Knicks lead the 76ers 58-46. But the big story is Joel Embiid, who with a couple minutes to go in the first half, he fell seemingly normal on his he landed on one foot. No big deal. But seemed to tweak his left knee. He limped off the floor, headed to the locker room. We'll see if we can get an update. Plus, Ryan and I, we're going to go on the record. Sometimes you got to go on the record. We're going to go on the record with our first round playoff series predictions. That's next. This is Primetime on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hey, this show and all of ESPN Radio is streaming live on the ESPN app. Featuring ESPN Plus, where you get more ESPN. Download the ESPN app today and take ESPN and ESPN Radio everywhere.
Hey, it's Evan Cohen. Coming up Monday, we'll react to the NBA playoffs and get you ready for the NFL draft. It's on Sportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
It's done.
Connor McDavid, it's not real.
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup playoffs begin Sunday on ESPN, ABC, and ESPN+.
Which teams are making moves and which teams need to just flat out move? Your Saturday means I'm locked in and ready for First Take right here, Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Welcome to the best seat in your house.
Say cheese.
The one with MLB superstars, super teams, and super fans. Where fresh talent shows out, bats and scripts get flipped, and mics get dropped on the regular.
Yeah, that was fun. Y'all might need to come around more.
Welcome to the show. Sunday Night Baseball. Sunday at 7 Eastern, all season long on ESPN.
Mike Greenberg is Greeny.
The Celtics. This team has underperformed over the course of their tenure. As significant a favorite to at least get to the finals since Golden State had an unfair advantage. The Celtics getting knocked out this year will be something akin to what would have happened if the KD Warriors had gotten knocked out on their way to the NBA Finals. And I think it could happen.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can watch and listen on the ESPN app.
It's Larry Shelby, previously on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Phil Yates joining us. How unusual is it that 1 and 2 are pretty much automatic a week out?
The fact that we have, I wouldn't say total clarity, but I would say closing in on clarity on the first two picks in the 2024 NFL Draft, rather unusual.
The Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays at 3 Eastern on the ESPN app and on the SEC Network.
Playoff time is a different time. The intensity, the unpredictability.
Another three, bang!
Every team fighting for this time to be their time.
He's unstoppable!
The NBA Playoffs, presented by Google Pixel, continue Sunday at 1 with the doubleheader on ABC. First round presented by ESPN Bet.
Madison Square Garden as the Knicks have a 58-46 lead at halftime. No update on Joel Embiid's status going forward. He's Ryan Hollins. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. This is Primetime on ESPN Radio. I mean, Ryan, we got to figure Embiid. He's not going to play in the second half, right? Even because at the very least, he tweaked his left knee, some type of injury, even if it's not serious. So if that's the case, they're looking at it, hey, it's game one, seven-game series. Like, even if it's not serious, we're not going to see him again in the second half, right?
No, I would really doubt it. And obviously, they probably want to get an MRI, make sure they check him out. And, you know, obviously, he's been missing time for knee soreness. And in all reality, if you're that big and you play in the NBA, your knee is always going to be sore. There's always going to be something going on. So hopefully, you know, we can see the best for Joel. He can actually play in this series. At least when he went down, he didn't seem to be in excruciating pain. But sometimes that doesn't mean anything. I've seen guys go off in wheelchairs. I've seen them yell and scream, and all of a sudden they're
we know
right
what you're
back.
Talking about.
No, stop it, man. They're back on the court. Paul is not the only player in history that's gone off in a wheelchair. Shout out to Paul, man. Just saw my guy, by the way. But nonetheless, man, hopefully he's back, but him not having that reaction doesn't mean anything. Again, I've seen things go both ways.
So no update yet on Embiid, but I'd be stunned if we saw him in the second half. I mean, we'll see about the rest of the series. Coming up at the top of the hour, Lakers Nuggets, game one on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. How about a little bit here from Nuggets head coach Michael Malone? He doesn't care about the past success against the Lakers.
Many people are talking about the 8-0 streak we have against the Lakers. Well, throw that out the window. This is the playoffs. What's happened in the past doesn't really matter, have any effect into tonight's game. And the hope is that we can get off to a great start and protect our home court.
So that was Nuggets head coach Michael Malone. You can hear more of his conversation with Sean Kelly with Michael Malone. That is coming up. Now, as far as tonight goes, as far as this series goes, Ryan, Lakers and Nuggets, You already gave your bold prediction. One of your bold predictions was that the Lakers are going to win this series against the Nuggets. You do not believe they need to necessarily get the game tonight. But speaking of all the games in a row, sweeping in the regular season, sweeping in the postseason last year, you know, most teams would probably go into that series then tonight with the Nuggets. With that in the back of their minds, I don't think this Laker team's afraid of the Nuggets. I don't think a LeBron James led, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, I don't think they go into this series caring very much about having lost eight straight to the Nuggets. I know you mentioned earlier how they should have maybe taken more consideration in not winning their play-in game on Tuesday night to set themselves up for a first-round matchup, what I think would be a favorable matchup against Oklahoma City. Instead, they're facing the Denver Nuggets, but I don't see this Laker team. I'm not picking them against the Nuggets, but I don't see them afraid of the Nuggets, Ryan.
Well, for clarity, that was a bold prediction, which means we're just throwing something up in the air. Yeah, they should be afraid of the Nuggets. Here's the thing. Biggest thing about the Nuggets is their discipline. They execute and they attack your weaknesses. And this is a Laker team that all year has been consistent. We've seen the team that rolls, that you say, man, how, you know, they're so good. They're putting things together. And then we've seen the team that just hasn't had it that night. A lot of that has to speak to LeBron James' age and Anthony Davis's injuries and inconsistency. So the frustrating part there and why it's a horrible matchup is Denver is consistent. Denver executes. Denver does not make those mistakes that LeBron James can feed off of. So you should absolutely fear the Nuggets.
Well, that's coming up at the top of the hour. Lakers-Nuggets game one. Third quarter is underway here at Madison Square Garden. Ryan, on the floor, in the middle for Philadelphia, Joel Embiid.
Hey, well, that's a good sign. You never like to see a guy go
back. Great sign.
Hey, maybe here, and we've been there before, you're old enough, Zazz, where you know you'll fall down and you hear a little crunch, you hear a little pop, you're going, hold on, what is that? Because you're right. He didn't look like he was in pain. He
not
just
at all.
Looked like he was like...
Like Jimmy Butler was... I thought Jimmy Butler was dying on the floor the other night, you know?
Oh, stop it.
Joel Embiid... Well, that's my guy, come on. But Joel Embiid,
Did you tear up a little bit when that happened?
I had the same face that Pat Riley and Alonzo Mourning did when they were looking on in the crowd from the fifth row. It's like, oh my God, my life's flashing in front of my eyes. That's what I was thinking about. But Joel Embiid, you're right. He was lying there. He was staring up at the lights, and it was almost like, it's almost like he was thinking to himself, man, am I done? What just happened there? I know something happened, but I don't know what happened. Like, he wasn't sure what was going on, you know? And I guess they what happened there, Ryan? Because you said, all right, they'll probably go do an MRI or something. They obviously did not. What just took place then in the locker room for the last 20 minutes with Embiid for them to decide, you know what, I'm good to go?
Something didn't feel right or sound right. He got with the medical expert, probably the team doctor who's there, or orthopedic or whatever, and they checked him out and, you know, put him through some tests. Hey, do you feel pain here? You know, checked his knee out, make sure all the ligaments are intact, made sure, hey, checked out the ankle, saw the movement, saw that he could see some pain, put him through some exercises. The medical staff has numerous drills. Hey, let me see you sprint. Let me see you jump. Let's go side to side. Let's see how this looks here. And, you know, thank goodness, it looks like everything checked out, and that's why we see Joel back on the floor.
Now, he did throw up an air ball from three on the first possession of this second half, but I'm not sure that, you know, has anything to do with his knee bothering him. So that's obviously the story to keep an eye on here for the second half of this game, as the Knicks have extended now to a 14-point lead. It really feels like, because of the Embiid injury and the way the Knicks were able to close the first half, it really feels like the Sixers just have absolutely no momentum right about now. Ryan, let's go on the record here. All right. As far as series predictions go, are you willing, which underdogs, all right, which lower seeds are you willing to say are going to advance the second round? Give me some.
Give me the lower seeds. Give me the lower seeds, and I'll give you a yay or nay.
Okay, I'll go through with you. That's fine. All right, so the Magic are the lower seed to the Cavaliers. Can the Magic win that series?
No.
Okay, Suns are the lower seed against the Wolves, or you want to pick the Suns. Both those teams are down 0-1. All right, Sixers right now trailing by 14. They are the lower seed against the Knicks.
Yes.
Okay, so you're going with the Sixers, a 7 seed to advance the second round. Good job out of you. The Mavs are the 5 seed. They're the lower seed going against the Clippers. Will you pick the Mavericks?
Yes, no
Kawhi. I'm picking the Mavericks, too. Yep, I'm picking the Mavs also. Lakers are the lower seed against the Nuggets. Are you going to pick the Lakers?
No.
Me neither. The Pacers, lower seed against the Bucks.
No.
I have the Pacers. I got two lower seeds advancing. I got the Pacers. The Heat, lower seed against the Celtics. What do you think, Heat in five?
No.
No, okay. And finally, Thunder, higher seed, so I shouldn't say it like that. Pelicans are the lower seed against the Thunder. Are you willing to take the Pelicans?
I am.
Wow, okay, so you have two lower seeds. You have Mavericks and Pelicans, right? Did you say 76ers?
Yeah, and I went Sixers. And also, too,
right, so you got three.
Is Zion done? Or is he kind of like...
Yeah, they're reevaluating in a couple of weeks. Yeah, so okay. he's not done, in this series.
He's done. Yeah.
All right, so you have three lower seeds winning. You have the Sixers advancing, the Mavericks advancing, and the Pelicans advancing. I have two lower seeds advancing. I have the Mavericks, and I have the Pacers. All right, well, both of us, we're putting it out there. Both of us are willing to show
your
some
heat,
guts.
You have your Heat, right?
Oh, yeah, Heat and five, yeah, for sure. Yeah, gentlemen sweep. We're gentlemen. We're gentlemen. You don't want to be rude about it. Gentlemen sweep. Come on. Gentlemen sweep. You know what I'm talking about, Ryan. All right.
Goodness.
There you go. All right. So both of us showing some guts there, picking some of the lower seeds to advance the second round. Next show that we do together. See, we're out of time here, Ryan. Otherwise, I was going to have you give your first round predictions for the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, that got started today. but we're out of time. So, you know, maybe you could text those to me. You give me your Stanley Cup plays. All right. And I'll see you. I'll hold you to them. All right. That sound good?
I got you, big fella.
There you go. So coming up at the top of the hour here, Lakers and Nuggets. You heard right there. Ryan thinks it's going to be a big-time series. I think that series got a lot of juice. All right, excellent job by everybody. Cam, excellent job on the other side. Of course, Stosh, really good job stepping in as well. This has been Primetime. Lakers-Nuggets Game 1 is next right here on ESPN Radio.
Monday morning, we enter my favorite week of the year, the NFL Draft, getting closer by the day. Plus, we're all over the NBA playoffs. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Are you ready to make a difference for the environment while helping the visually impaired at the same time? Then donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind today by calling 1-800-983-6530. Every donated vehicle will either be properly recycled in an eco-friendly manner or given a new life through reuse. Donating your vehicle is easy. Simply call 1-800-983-6530 and Heritage for the Blind will do the rest. They'll even arrange for your vehicle to be picked up at no cost to you. And for a limited time, when you donate your car, you'll receive a $200 restaurant voucher and a two-night, three-day hotel stay at one of 50 locations. Call 1-800-983-6530 right now to schedule your vehicle donation and make a positive impact on the environment while helping others. Heritage for the Blind, where every car donation counts and every person makes a difference. Call 1-800-983-6530 now. This advertisement is paid for by Heritage for the Blind.
Every 2 minutes, a woman in the U.S. is diagnosed with breast cancer. And in that split second, her life changes forever. The toll of breast cancer is great. The need to support those who are battling the disease today is even greater. We're fighting alongside patients because we know one moment can change a lifetime. United by hope, we can end breast cancer. Join our fight. Save lives.
Imagine a disease that affects more than 10 million Americans, yet few know its name. I'm talking about lymphedema, LE. Many people, like my mom, get it as a result of cancer treatment and afterwards face a lifetime of swelling and pain. The cruel irony is many times its severity can be lessened only if you learn about it and act in advance. If you're at risk, ask your doctor about lymphedema. Take this as your chance to learn and live. Learn more at lymphaticnetwork.org.
Would you know what to do in a poison emergency? Would you know whom to call? Well, the answer is Poison Help. 1-800-222-1222. Poison Help is a 24/7 government hotline staffed by poison experts. It's free to call and available in over 100 languages. Every second counts in a poison emergency. Don't waste it wondering who to call. Save Poison Help in your phone today. 1-800-222-1222.
Diane from Michigan, a disabled senior citizen trying to get by. Henry from Florida, a veteran fighting to make ends meet. Elena from Arizona, a mother struggling to feed her daughter. Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year, like Diane, Henry, and Elena. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
WJQX-FM, Helena, a Cumulus station. Download the TuneIn Radio app and take Jocks 2 with you wherever you go. This is SportsCenter.
I'm Marty Hausberger. A whiteout in the stands in Minneapolis and an avalanche on the court as the Timberwolves take game one of their playoff series with Phoenix 120-95. The Wolves got a big game from star Anthony Edwards.
25-12, the advantage on the glass. Wolves from right to left here. Towns surveys the scene, dumps it inside to Ant, rises up, layup good. And that's another thing the Wolves are doing. They're having different players initiate the offense, not just Ant, where he gets bottled up and sees a wall of defenders.
K-Fan Sports Radio on the call. Edwards finished with a game-high 33 points. Kevin Durant led Phoenix with 31. Right now, the Knicks lead the Sixers 67-59 in the third with about 8 minutes to go in that period. Cleveland has been nearly impossible to beat in a seven-game series when they take game one, and that's what they did today, cruising by Orlando 97-83. The Cavs led by Donovan Mitchell's 30 points. Here's three of them on WTAM.
Is just inside the half court line. Garland against Suggs. Garland right side, Mitchell wide open three. Bullseye! Donovan Mitchell with a big time three ball wide open on the right wing, and he buried it.
The Cavs are 17-1 in seven-game series when they take the first game. That's the best in NBA history. Getting underway in about a half an hour on ESPN Radio. Coverage right now, Game 1, Lakers and Nuggets. That showdown also on ABC TV. Good day in Minnesota today before the Wolves won. The Twins beat Detroit 4-3 to snap a five-game losing streak.
Monday morning, we enter my favorite week of the year, the NFL Draft, getting closer by the day. Plus, we're all over the NBA playoffs. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Sportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
UConn women's basketball coach Gino Auriemma is going to join us in just a couple of minutes here on Unsportsmanlike. Just to put a bow kind of, CC, on the Belichick conversation for now, I have thrown out there, and I'm curious to know your thoughts on this, that this has actually become a good thing for him because people like yourself and Damian Woody and others that know this sport inside and out are properly defending him and pointing out the good. Yeah. But there is some positive PR now that's going to come out of this negative.
Yeah, but a good thing to what end? Positive PR, positive perception, but does that lead to him getting a job next hiring cycle? I don't have the answer to that because you're talking about him being a year removed from the NFL and being a year older, which I think he would be in his age 73 season in 2025. So, I mean, do you want to go down that road if you're a franchise, having him step in as a new head coach and him being the oldest person to have coached in the NFL in the modern era?
Part of the reporting indicates that the Giants, Eagles, and Cowboys at NFC East is really where he could consider wanting to go.
Yeah, and our Jordan Renan, who covers the New York Giants, said that this is something that's going to loom over Brian Daboll the entirety of the season.
It's going to be very interesting. Listen, like, with no disrespect to any other coach, if Bill Belichick wants to work for me, I am hiring him in 2 seconds, and I'm not even thinking twice about it. Same thing I would say about our next guest, Gino Auriemma, UConn women's basketball coach, one of the great coaches ever in any sport. He joins us now. Coach, thank you so much for joining us, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen. With you, let's start with this. You have done so much for the women's game. You've won championship after championship, and yet this year felt different than any other year in the history of women's basketball. How would you describe what the last 12 months have been like for your sport?
Well, I've never gotten so much, hey, great job, great job, great job, for losing. It's crazy. Like all the years we won national championships, everybody was like, yeah, yeah, you know, that was really cool. You guys were supposed to win. Like this year, just something happened that I think was a perfect storm, you know. All the right players, all the right ingredients were right there to make it happen, you know. People decided to watch. You guys, you know, not just you, but everybody decided that, hey, we need to put this on because it's really compelling. And the kids delivered, and it was to me. I can't overestimate what it meant to the game. And now it's on us to make it to take it one step further.
Coach, you had Paige Bueckers back after missing a year due to injury. What has it meant for you to have her this season, both personally and as a team? And what does it mean for your program moving forward, the fact that she is coming back to UConn for yet another year?
All right. Well, it's, you know, sometimes things are complicated, but sometimes they're not. Her freshman year, we lost in the Final Four. Her sophomore year, we lost in the national championship game. Her junior year, she was hurt, and we didn't get out of the regionals. And now this year, she played, and we were in the Final Four. So I don't want to say this really to a lot of people, but she might be more important to our program than me, which I hate to admit that, but that's just the reality.
Coach, last night at the USBWA Awards, they announced that the Women's National Coach of the Year Award is going to be named after you. I know that it was a tremendous honor for you, but I actually want to ask you about the recipient of that award last night, South Carolina's Dawn Staley. When you look at her from your vantage point, what makes her such an effective coach?
Well, I think the same thing that makes any coach effective. One, you know, the ability to attract great players to come play for you. That's number one. Number two is then once you get those players to come play for you, the ability to get the best out of them. I don't know that anyone over the last 4 or 5 years maybe has been able to defensively, offensively, get her teams to play at a consistently high level than Dawn has. And this year they embraced the three-point shot, which that they had not done that previous to this year. And I think that changed everything for them. It just made them almost, you know, when we took, you know, Cardoza, they just figured out the next great thing that they could be good at. And that's what great coaches do. You know, they take it from one thing to the next. And, you know, Dawn's teams have been able to do that.
We're talking with 11-time championship coach, Hall of Famer, Gino Auriemma, UConn women's basketball here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You have had so many elite, iconic players, yet this year felt different than any other year, as we've discussed. And I think all of your elite iconic players like Taurasi, like Lobo, et cetera, led us up to this point. Why do you think Caitlin Clark was able to captivate a nation differently than anyone else has? And I mean that complimentary to your players, because if not for your players, she's not inspired to do this like she did this year. And she has said as such.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Somebody asked Diana that one time, like, do you think coach would have let you take some of the shots she took? And Diana said, no, we weren't even allowed to dribble. You know, we won three national championships with Diana in a different way than the way Caitlin did it. The way Caitlin did it was something that hasn't been done in basketball since Pete Maravich played on the men's side. And no one had ever seen it before on the women's side. Now, that's not to say it had never been done by players you know, I can go back 100 years. You know, I can go back to Cheryl Miller or Carol Blizjowski, Lynette Woodard, you know. But no one had ever seen it because the media had never latched onto it. So now you've got the media is fascinated. This kid is fascinating to watch. Like, where's she going to shoot it from next? And she delivered. And that's not to say that Caitlin was the be-all and end-all. That meant she brought eyes to the game. But then the rest of the game delivered. You know, whether it was Paige or Juju Watkins or, you know, Angel Reese, whoever it was, they were given a platform and they delivered. And to me, that's the big thing. You know, back in the day, we used to talk about, listen, we want exposure. We want more exposure. Okay, but if you're not any good, you get exposed. So we got the exposure, but we delivered. That's the big thing.
Coach, there's been a lot of debate with the growth of the women's game, particularly in this year, about equity in sports and the draft eligibility rules. In the WNBA, you have to be at least 22 years of age, whereas in the NBA, you have a lot of one-and-done players. I'm curious, from your perspective, do you think that the WNBA should allow players to be eligible earlier in their basketball careers, or do you think it's a good thing that they're forcing these kids to stay in college until they're 22 years old?
Well, it depends whether you want the game to grow or whether you want to kill it. If you want to kill it, then let the kids leave after freshman year, which is, like, on the men's side, it's become transactional. Okay, everybody's a free agent. Everybody's a mercenary. It's not the kid's fault. All right, so you go, you play, you're good, you go to the NBA. You go, you play, you're good, you go to another school because they give you more money. All right, so that's starting to impact the women's game. To me, what helped the women's game grow is the people in Iowa got to grow up with Caitlin Clark. Mm. The people in Connecticut got to grow up with all my great players. There's something to be said for that. You know, when players stay with their team long enough to build a brand, I don't know that our game can continue to move forward if all of a sudden our guys are gone and then we never hear from them again because they're playing during the summer. And they're not on our team anymore. So I like the rule, and the players decided the rule. So if they change the rule, God bless them, but I think it'll ruin the game.
Mm. Coach, last night we talked about how Storrs, Connecticut is the epicenter of the basketball world. Obviously, you're having so much consistent success on the women's side, and Danny Hurley and the men's back-to-back champions. And we talked about how those programs feed off one another. And I know you're very locked into what you need to accomplish with your team, but what's your relationship like with Danny Hurley? Do you guys get together and have talks about basketball, exchange information or tips or anything?
Well, you know, I'm old enough to be his father, I think, you know. So it's a different conversation when we talk. But just the other day, you know, he was in my office and we talked for about 45 minutes about just different things and things that are impacting the game. And listen, winning two national championships in a row, there's not a lot of people that have been in that space. You know, and he and I, you know, we have this relationship that I think is unique and it's healthy and it's great for me because I love watching them play. I see their players every day down in the weight room or in the training room or in the dining room. I watch them play. I'm fascinated by how they do things offensively. He's one of the best every day on a daily basis practice coaches I've ever seen. So, yeah, I'm old enough to be his dad, but I've learned a lot from the guy. And it's just really, really, really cool to have him and his staff and all that energy in our building. I, I, It's really cool. It's made me a better coach, I think.
Gino Auriemma's won 11 titles, UConn women's basketball coach. He's in the Hall of Fame, but his biggest accomplishment is he got to do what we get to do normally, and that is hang out with Michelle Smallman last night at the USBA event in St. Louis. Coach, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you guys were as nice as Michelle, then I would talk to you more. That's the bottom line.
Well said. Well said. Well perfect. Said. Perfect, Coach. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. There is Gino Auriemma, head basketball coach, women's basketball coach at UConn. Certainly a spicy answer to a question CC asked about the freshman leaving early. If you want to ruin the game, you'll change the rule.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. From the play-in tournament.
Here's Embiid, trains a triple.
Until a champion is crowned at the NBA Finals.
The Denver Nuggets NBA champion.
History awaits. The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
You promised.
I took the garbage out.
No, I'm talking about all the work we need to get done around here.
I know. We need a new roof and we need replacement windows.
How about a new bathroom and some overdue remodeling?
And how are we supposed to pay for all that?
My sister said she called Remodeling Loans and they were able to find her certified contractors.
That's great. And how'd she get the money to pay for all that?
Remodeling Loans offered zero interest for 60 months. They even have payment plans with zero down and zero deposit.
Looks like we're getting a home makeover.
Great. Now, if I only knew someone to call for a husband makeover.
Really?
Remodeling Loans is the number one leader in home improvement financing. Call 800-921-1403 today for a no-credit check, no-risk approval. Get approved today and we'll match you with the best contractors in your area. And remember, no-deposit financing is now available. Call 800-921-1403. 800-921-1403.
Mike Greenberg is Greeny.
The Celtics. This team has underperformed over the course of their tenure. As significant a favorite to at least get to the finals since Golden State had an unfair advantage. The Celtics getting knocked out this year will be something akin to what would have happened if the KD Warriors had gotten knocked out on their way to the NBA Finals. And I think it could happen.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can watch and listen on the ESPN app. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
Terrion Arnold, good luck. The former Alabama cornerback, slated to be a first rounder.
I'd be reading every mock draft, every single one. You'd be waking up middle of the night, oh my God, where's Matt Miller have me? It's Wednesday morning, Mel's got his new mock, or is it field this week? And you see you slid two spots, I'd be inconsolable. But that's also why I would never be in the NFL.
Carlin versus Joe, weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80.
You have cancer. There's nothing you can do to prepare yourself.
Round one of chemotherapy.
I'm gonna fight it. I'm gonna survive. There's no way I'm gonna let this take over me.
Cancer doesn't care what you look like, who you are.
It may not save my life. It may save my children's life. It may save someone you love.
Cancer about you. Let's do it.
Live, fight like hell. And when you get too tired to fight, let somebody else fight for you.
Because of all the donations, mine is one of the lives that's been saved.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Visit v.org/donate.
Number five to number one.
Best of the best of the best, sir.
These are the Chris Canty Power Rankings.
Here we go. Power Rankings Tuesday. Boy, wait till you guys hear what this is, because this is, this is going out on a limb because of one word here. Top five guaranteed Hall of Famers.
That's right.
In the 2024 draft.
That's right.
You don't want to do top five
presumed Hall of Famers?
No. Gettleman said once upon a time, that's the former Giants general manager that drafted Saquon Barkley. When you're taking a guy this high in the first round, top 10 pick, then that guy's got to be a gold jacket guy. So we're going to go with the top five draft prospects that are surefire, guaranteed Hall of Famers. Guys that will have a bust in Canton, Ohio at the end of their NFL career. So I know that's lofty praise.
Yes.
But that should absolutely be the goal when you're taking a guy with a lot of draft capital in the first round.
Okay. So, I have one. I'm not going to say who. I have one guy in my head that I think is definitively going to be on this list. Smalls, how many people do you have in your brain right now that you're like, all right, I think they're going to be on this list?
Two.
All right, let's see what you got here.
All right, to kick this thing off, we're going to start with number five, Javonte, if you will.
Number five.
Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC. Now, this is a guy that's shown us that he can do it at multiple big-time programs. He started out at Oklahoma. He supplanted Spencer Rattler, who was all of a sudden turned into a draft darling in his own right. But Caleb Williams has shown the ability to throw the football from any arm angle. He showed that outstanding improvisational skills, second reaction plays, whether he's manipulating the pocket to buy time or he's getting outside of the pocket to extend the down. This is a guy that can do it. In terms of his field vision, the best in the class. It is elite level. And this is a guy that really doesn't have a whole lot of question marks outside of whether or not he can have the discipline to play within the structure at the next level. Because a lot of the things he got away with at the collegiate ranks, he won't be able to pull off. The athletes are too smart. They're bigger, stronger, faster. The other concern that I have for Caleb Williams is ball security in the pocket. But think about that, Evan. I'm saying the biggest concerns for the young man are his ability to stay disciplined in terms of playing within structure, playing on time, and hanging on to the football in the pocket. That's it. Those are the only questions about his game. And that's why I think this is a player that will be wearing a gold jacket at the end of his career. When you watch him play, there's only one pro comp, and that is Patrick Mahomes. I get it. It's lofty praise. But just turn on the tape and watch him. He's that damn good. Next.
Number four.
Offensive tackle from Washington, Troy Faitanu. Now, I don't think he's going to be an offensive tackle at the next level. He's 6'4". 320, I think he's going to be a guard, and he's probably going to be one of the best in the business relatively early in his career. This is a guy that could stop defensive linemen dead in their tracks with his initial punch, but he's got the athleticism to be able to stay in front of those quick jump around guys that might reduce down from being an edge rusher to a defensive tackle on sub packages. This is somebody that has a blindside tackle for Michael Penix Jr. was an All-American, and I just continue to see the standout ability in his game because he's such a good athlete to be that size. And one of the things that you watch for offensive linemen is, can they play in space? Because oftentimes NFL defenses will try to put them in conflict to force them to play in space, and Troy Faitanu has shown the ability to be able to do that. So he is a no-doubter. Going to be a Hall of Fame guy at the end of his career. And I think this is a guy that has all pro potential within the first 3 years of being in the National Football League. Next.
Number three.
Brock Bowers. Tight end, but I don't really want to call him a tight end. He's more of a receiver. Mm-hmm. And you saw what he did at the University of Georgia. He led the Bulldogs, was a part of a really explosive offense that led to the Bulldogs being national champions a couple of years ago. But this is a guy that people are clamoring to get up in the first round of draft just because of his versatility. You see them. How often do you see a tight end getting the ball on a jet sweep in college? You just don't. But that just shows you what kind of athlete he is. Again, he has the label of being a tight end, but he's not really a tight end. He's got really sure hands, really soft hands for the position, for a pro comp. Think George Kittle. That's the direction that it's going when you start talking about Brock Bowers. Maybe needs to work on being able to sustain blocks as an inline blocker in the formation, but he's a player that they're going to be able to put all over the formation, whether it's in the backfield, whether it's split out in the slot, whether it's split out wide, or at the true wide position in line next to a tackle. A lot of versatility that comes along with Brock Bowers. He is the ultimate chess piece, somebody that you can move all around the offensive formation and put defenses in conflict.
Top five guaranteed Hall of Fame players in the 2024 NFL draft per CC. Brock Bowers in at number three. He'd probably go number three overall if Belichick was still coaching the Patriots. Number two, CC.
All right, number two.
Number two.
Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame. Now, his dad was one of the Hogs for the Washington Commanders, used to be known as the Washington Redskins. But, I mean, his dad has the has had a long NFL career, and Joe has that same type of pedigree. I mean, he's 6'9", 320 pounds, a mountain of a man, and he ran sub-5.40 at the combine. This is an elite-level athlete, but the thing that I love about him is that he plays big. He uses those long arms to disengage from defenders, keep those defensive linemen out of his body, and he's able to lock out and get good punch on those guys, both in the pass blocking, but also in run blocking. So I love Joe Alt. This is a guy that's going to be plug and play, start for a dozen years in the National Football League, and you're not going to have to worry about him. I think the pro comp for Joe Alt is another guy that's named Joe, and that would be Joe Thomas from the Cleveland Browns once upon a time. I think he has that type of ability. You're a Wisconsin guy, so you know how good Joe Thomas was. That's the kind of ability that Joe Alt has.
I mean, that's no small praise.
Yes.
Comparing him to Joe Thomas, who played forever and ultimate teammate. Wow.
Yeah.
I have literally no idea who number one is going to be.
Yeah, come on now.
Okay, maybe you know
who number one is going to be.
Second generation.
Okay, now again, I do. The bloodlines, man. I'm going to roll with the
bloodlines. Wow, Roman Reigns reference, bloodline.
The bloodlines. I mean, we're going to go with Marvin Harrison Jr. All you have to do is look at his dad and just know that the kid knows how to be a professional.
Yep.
He knows how to play receiver. One of the things I love about MHJ is how he's handled the pre-draft process. No, I'm not working out for a combine. No, I'm not going to work out at the combine. And I'm not going to work out at the pro day. If you say the grade is the tape, then just turn on the tape and see what Marvin Harrison Jr. has done at Ohio State over the last couple of years. There is no doubt that he is the best receiver in all of college football, and he's probably the best prospect in this entire class. I mean, he's a super productive player. He's got all kinds of athletic ability. He can win at every single level. He can win versus press coverage. He can win versus off coverage. He knows zone coverage concepts and presents himself as a target for his quarterback. This is a guy that's going to be really user-friendly for whatever signal caller is on the team that drafts him. And so Marvin Harrison Jr. is the player that I'm most confident in this class that will wear a gold jacket. So that is the list. Marvin Harrison Jr., Joe Alt, Brock Bowers, Troy Faitanu, and Caleb Williams, Hall of Famers on deck.
The NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
It's time to have some fun.
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit.
This is the most fascinating NFL draft I've ever been associated with.
The Chicago Bears select
the NFL Draft, Round 1, Thursday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing. That's 2,000 children every single day. It's a heart-wrenching reality that we can no longer ignore. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping find missing kids. You can be a part of their mission by donating your unwanted vehicle, running or not. Call 1-800-294-0222. We guarantee that you will receive the maximum tax deduction. We provide fast, free pickup with 24-hour response. Call 1-800-294-0222. Find the Children provides crucial resources to help find missing children and educational materials to teach kids how to recognize and avoid predators. Our recovery programs have a proven track record of reuniting kids with their families. It's time to act. Donate your unwanted or unused car. Help us build a world where every child is safe. Pick up the phone and call 1-800-294-0222. Together, we can bring these kids home safely. This advertisement was paid for in partnership with Cars R Us and Find the Children.
Evan, Canty, and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
The Property Brothers are here. Drew and Jonathan Scott.
This is a hack that I'm sure a lot of people in our audience really want to know your perspective on and get an answer to. My wife and I are renovating our house in New York, and I'm trying to figure out how do I keep my wife or convince my wife to stay in budget for our renovation.
Yeah. Depends. Do you want to stay in the marriage?
Unsportsmanlike. Weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
You have cancer. There's nothing you can do to prepare yourself.
Round one of chemotherapy.
I'm going to fight it. I'm going to survive. There's no way I'm going to let this take over me.
Cancer doesn't care what you look like, who you are.
It may not save my life. It may save my children's life. It may save someone you love.
breaking this cancer about you. Let's do it.
Live. Fight like hell. And when you get too tired to fight, let somebody else fight for you. That's what they say.
Because of all the donations, mine is one of the lives that's been saved.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Visit v.org/donate.
Chris Carlin, Joe Fortenbaugh. This is Carlin versus Joe.
I don't know if there's anything I've ever been less serious about than the English language.
Why'd you major in it?
If we're being truthful, given the choice, you're going to major in something math related where they deal in facts or where you can BS your way through 10 pages.
There are other options out there. Were you made aware of that?
I was.
For example, business.
Carlin versus Joe. Weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80.
Marty Hausberger, the Knicks and their rival Sixers have not met in the playoffs in over 30 years. Game one tonight between New York and Philadelphia. It's back and forth. Philly got off to a hot start. New York closed the half with a big run to take a 12-point lead at half. But the Sixers used a big run of their own in the third to go ahead by three at the end of three. It's now 86-84, New York, 8:21 to go. Minnesota put it to Phoenix today in Minneapolis.
Anthony Edwards front court. Spaces Beal and Gordon out to the right side of Nasri. Rudy trying to seal off Durant inside. They couldn't get it to him. And deep three on the way. Strokes it. Nothing but net from 5 feet beyond the arc. Edwards with 31. Timberwolves by 25.
Alan Horton with a call on KFAN Sports Radio. Edwards finished with a game-high 33 points on 14 of 24 shooting. And the Wolves finished off the Suns 120-95. Minnesota taking control in the second and third quarters, outscoring the Suns 65-44 over those two frames. Cleveland has a one-game-to-none lead on Orlando after controlling the Magic 97-83. The Cavs out-rebounded Orlando 54-40. That's the most playoff rebounds by Cleveland since the 2017 finals. Coach J.B. Bickerstaff says it's all about experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this is about, and that's the maturation of this basketball team. You know, it's one of the things that we've been talking about. You know, you go through experiences, and then you add experience like we did, and it adds maturity, and you understand, you know, what the moment is, and you understand how to play forcefully but still play basketball and get the job done.
Cleveland held Orlando to 32% shooting, their playoff worst since the 2009 finals. Lakers and Nuggets next on ESPN.
Hey, it's Michelle Smallman. It's officially draft week, and I'll tell you all the small things I'll be looking for in round one at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. It's on Sportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are expected to part ways.
And Evan, I know you are as big of a Bill Belichick person as anybody out there. Wellness check, my friend. How you doing?
It sucks. I mean, I'm not going to... I hate this. I hate this. I love Belichick. He's the greatest NFL coach of all time. Oh, I'm not crying.
You're a little misty.
You're
a little misty. I'm sitting right next to you. I can see
I'm
you.
I'm not crying.
I can see you.
Evan,
you're a little misty.
Evan, I can
you're
see
a little
it.
Misty. I hate this.
Yeah, well, today's a day for me to cry in a river. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty, Michelle, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. You can check in with us on social media at UnsportsESPN. We're going to have Canty's mock draft, where six of the top 12 picks were traded in Canty's mock draft. Plus, we have a poll question up based on last night's Heat-Sixers game where Jimmy Butler unfortunately gets hurt. Miami had a 14-point lead. They end up losing the game to Philadelphia 105-104. Kudos to the Sixers, who are now going to play the New York Knicks. But the turning point of the game, and we are not kidding when we tell you this, was literally a moment in the third quarter of that game where the score was 59-48. Miami had the lead. I'm going to get to Belichick in a second. But 59-48, Miami had the lead with 6:57 to go in the third quarter. And Caleb Martin of the Heat had two free throws. He missed them both. And the fans, as a result, win free chicken as a result of two missed free throws. The crowd went absolutely berserk. They were booing the Sixers prior to that. and they went on an 8-0 run right then and there, and then outscored the Heat by double digits the rest of the way. And no joke, that was the turning point of the game, to which CeCe rightfully said or asked, does that confirm that chicken fingers, chicken tenders, are the number one ballpark or stadium or arena food? So we put it up. Now, this is amazing. Yes or no at Unsports ESPN, 85% are saying no.
Wow.
No.
How many other foods can get credit for a playoff win? Where's hot dogs playoff win?
So is
Where's a taco playoff win?
So now I've got to ask, like, what is the ultimate ballpark food? Is it hot dogs?
Okay. So I have to say something here. I think when you phrase it ballpark, you think specifically baseball, so most people think hot dog.
Oh, I like it. So we're going to blame Rob, our social media guy, for the phrasing
on this. If you're saying the best food to eat at a sporting event, you think of arenas as well, and which is not necessarily as synonymous with a hot dog. Like when you think ballpark food, you think an ice cold draft beer and you think a hot dog. Not a chicken tender.
But we just talked about...
the chicken tenders are better at the ballpark, just like they're better at the arena, just like they're better at the stadium. It's just better.
And they have a playoff win.
They do. They do have that on their resume.
I mean, we just talked about Tua, how he's not good in the playoffs. Chicken fingers have a playoff win.
They do.
And honestly, or a play-in win, however you want to look at it.
Chicken fingers, too, have more of a versatility with condiments. We can't forget about the different layers that a chicken... Ooh. Like, when you're talking about hot dog, you're typically talking ketchup and mustard. When you're talking chicken tenders, you've got ketchup, you've got honey mustard, you've got ranch, you've got Polynesian sauce if you're getting crazy. I mean, there's so many options as far as condiments go.
Well, I guess the people in Chicago put all of that on their hot dog anyway, so... I mean,
that is true. That is true. All right, so yesterday was an interesting day for one Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
So... a huge story drops ESPN.com about Belichick, and Seth Wickersham, Don Van Natta, and Jeremy Fowler all contributed to that report. And then yesterday, out of nowhere, amazing 30-40 minute interview that Belichick did with Pat McAfee, noon until 3 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, that was just unreal in terms of the overall personality of Belichick. You saw him in a way with McAfee that you don't normally see him anywhere else. He was phenomenal. But it's amazing what this article has done in terms of all of the negative around Belichick, that Robert Kraft may have talked to Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, kind of putting in a negative word for him. And I'm just going to throw this out there, and I said this to you guys, and I still believe this. I think The Dynasty, the documentary on Apple Plus, making Belichick look bad, and this article, making Belichick look bad, is the best thing that could happen to Belichick. And the reason I say that is when he was, let's just call it, let go by the Patriots. Everyone was looking at it saying, yeah, you know what? I know he had these 20 years and 6 Super Bowls, et cetera, but the last 4 have been a disaster. And it was a referendum on his coaching as well as his work as a general manager. And nobody was really defending him except for diehards like myself. What's happened here is that the critique of him has gone so far and has forgotten the difficulty of winning not one, but 6 Super Bowls, where we sit next to someone every single day, Smalls, you and I, that won one, and he talks about how hard it is to win the one. Belichick won 5 more than that, and I actually think the players now, from Julian Edelman to Steph Gilmore to others, coming out and defending him is actually going to help him. And CeCe, this, to me, has gone too far against Belichick.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's an indictment on Robert Kraft, no doubt. And this is the perfect example of never wanting to see your ex do better than the next. Like, he already had to live that movie with Tom Brady. They jettisoned him. He wins a Super Bowl in year one with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It has that same aura around it, Robert Kraft not wanting Bill Belichick to go somewhere else, break the all-time wins record, and, oh, by the way, have that franchise in position to compete for a title, knowing that the Patriots are about to go through a multi-year rebuild. So it feels like that on its face. But I'm just sitting here thinking about the other teams that were on the other end of those phone calls from Robert Kraft. Think about it. The Philadelphia Eagles, they were like, yeah, we thought.